As I said there, I want to preach for a few moments on the importance of Christian fellowship. Look what it says in verse 14 of Acts 28. We read these words. Were we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. In Acts chapter 28, we find Paul and those who had been sailing with him on the island of Melita. That island, as we have indicated, is now called Malta. The reason why Paul was on this island was because their ship had been torn in pieces in the great storm that we considered last week. Paul and all those who were sailing with him remained on this island for 3 months. And then, boarding another ship, they began their journey again towards Rome. Before they reached the city of Rome, they stopped at various ports along the way. It is interesting, at least I find it interesting, to note that as you study this portion of Scripture, wherever Paul went, he always sought out the company of God's people. I don't know whether you have ever noticed it before. I'm sure that you have read Acts chapter 28 many times. But did you ever notice how Paul sought out the company of the saints of God? He always sought out fellowship with the people of God. And today, very simply, as we consider God's word and consider this truth, I pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, especially those of us who are saved and love the Lord. There's a message here, a very simple but a very clear message for each and every one of us who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. How precious Christian fellowship was to the Apostle Paul. He recognized that he needed the fellowship of God's people. He desired the fellowship of God's people. Indeed, that's the first thing I want you to notice here. Wherever Paul went, he always desired the company and the fellowship of the saints of God. Child of God, you and I cannot survive without the fellowship of God's people. It's one of the graces that God has given to us in order to lead us on with Himself. On the way to Rome, the ship that Paul was traveling on docked in different places along the journey. We've already said that. But at each port of call, when it was possible, Paul sought out the fellowship of God's people. And this can be seen very clearly when the ship docked at the port of Puteoli. Take a look at verse 13 and 14 and underline these words. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after one day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. Were we found brethren? In other words, were we sought out brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days? And so we went towards Rome. Underline those words. We found brethren. In other words, they sought out. It's very important that you understand what is happening here. They sought out the company of other saints of God. Wherever Paul went, he made it his business to find those who were followers of Jesus Christ, those of like-minded faith. Indeed, it was as natural for Paul to do this as it was for any man passing through a town to look up his relatives who lived there. And of course, if you and I were passing through a town or a city, we would naturally go and seek out our relatives and have fellowship with them. Well, as Paul traveled to Rome, he sought out the company of God's people. Paul always desired the company of the saints of God. Why did Paul seek out the company of God's people? Well, the answer is simple. Because Paul needed the fellowship of other believers. Now, maybe this is something that you and I take for granted in this part of the world, because we don't have to go very far to get God, to get into the fellowship of the people of God. But you know, child of God, you and I should never take it for granted. What a blessing it is to be able to come and meet with God's people around the Word of God and have fellowship with the saints. For 5 days, Paul and his few companions had been sailing among ungodly men. As they made their journey to Rome in this ship, there was only a handful of Christians on it. And they had been in the company of ungodly men. Therefore, when they came to the port of Puteoli, they were refreshed in the company of other Christians. They sought out the company of other believers. Child of God, we need the fellowship of other Christians. We need the fellowship of other believers, of other saints of God. The Apostle Paul said on one occasion, and it's a text of Scripture I'm sure that you'll be familiar with. He said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Why did Paul say this? He said it not only because God commands us to meet together as Christians, but he said it also because spiritual strength is gained for the individual Christian as they meet with one another and have fellowship with each other. That's why it is so important to come to church in the Lord's day. Not only to meet with the Lord, and of course that's the most important, but also to meet with other believers. That's why it is so important to come to the prayer meeting each week, so that we can have fellowship with other Christians and other believers, those of like precious faith. One of the greatest blessings that God's people possess on earth and in heaven is fellowship with each other. I'm sure that you all know what the word fellowship means. It means companionship or mutual sharing or a group of people with the same interests. And of course, those of us who are saved and love the Lord, we have an interest in the same things. We love the Lord. He has saved us. He is our Redeemer. He is our Heavenly Father. And of course, when we come together to meet with each other around the precious Word of God, we have something in common. And you know, child of God, that's why it is so important, especially for the young Christian, but for all Christians, whether young or old, to make sure that we're always found in the company of the saints of God. Fellowship is vital for our growth in the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul recognized this. As we've already mentioned there, as he traveled on this ship full of ungodly men, there were not many who he could have fellowship with. There were a few, but not many. So when the ship docked at this port and on other ports, the first thing that the Apostle Paul did, he sought out. That's what we read here. He sought out the company of God's people. Now, I want you to notice something else here. Take a look at verse 15, and you'll notice that Paul was greatly encouraged in the company of God's people. When Paul was in the outskirts of Rome, the saints who were in the city of Rome went out to meet him. Now, that's what we read here. By one means or another, God's people at Rome had heard that the Apostle Paul was on his way. And when Paul arrived, they came out to meet him. And although they had never met Paul before, they showed him great love, and this encouraged him in the Lord greatly. Look what it says in verse 15. "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw," when he saw the people of God, when he saw the saints, "he thanked God and he took courage." Underline those words. Paul took courage and he thanked God for the fellowship of God's people. You know, when we study, think about the life of the Apostle Paul, we think what a great man he was, and he was a great man of God. And we have seen in the course of these studies how the Lord has used him in a mighty way. And yet here we have a Christian. Here we have a child of God. And he recognized the value of Christian fellowship. He recognized the importance of meeting with God's people and having fellowship with the saints of God. And when he was in the company of God's people, talking about the Lord and the things of God, praying with the saints of God, how much it encouraged Paul in his walk with God. Child of God, we need the company of the saints of God. I need the company of the saints of God. And you need the company of the saints of God. And it's when we come together, especially in the prayer meeting, we come together to pray with one another. We gain strength from one another. And other saints encourage us. And I thank God for the saints in Bethel who down through the years have encouraged me. Now maybe you didn't think you were encouraging me. Maybe at times you didn't think you were encouraging the preacher, but you certainly have and you certainly did. And one of the greatest blessings in this church, in any church, is when God's people come together to pray for one another, to pray for the work of God, to pray that the Lord will move in those prayer meetings. How the Lord blessed our hearts on many, many occasions. And here we have God's servant here. Paul was traveling, and we know that eventually he would be martyred. He was traveling to his death. And yet, at every opportunity along the way, he sought out the people of God. He sought out the company of God's redeemed children. And as he fellowshiped with them, they greatly encouraged the man of God. When Paul was in Melita, the newborn babes in Christ encouraged Paul as well. Look at verse 10. Just go back to verse 10. Who also honored us with many honors. This is the Christians in Melita, those that had got saved. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. I want you to notice a number of things here very quickly. We as God's people need to encourage one another. And the best way to encourage one another in these days, as I've said, is to pray for one another and to pray with one another. Paul desired the prayers of God's people. Friday night at the young people's meeting, I was encouraging them to be men and women of prayer, to cultivate in their Christian life a life of prayer. And of course, Paul, and I emphasize this to the young people, Paul was a man of prayer, but he was a man who loved to get among the people of God and have prayer meetings with the saints of the Lord. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 25, brethren, pray for us. So he not only desired to be with God's people in the place of prayer, but he desired God's people to pray for him. And at the end of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, we read, finally, brethren, pray for us. So he always desired the prayers of God's people. We as God's people need to encourage one another around the throne of grace. The servant of God needs encouragement. And Paul, of course, as we know, was in the forefront of the battle. He was being attacked on every side. Soon he would stand before Caesar Augustus. And yet, one of the things that blessed him and encouraged him and strengthened him in his faith was the fact that he knew that other Christians were with him, standing by him, praying for him. And 2 Timothy, just turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 for a moment. Take a look there. We read these words, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me." Now, those are verses that you could skip over very quickly. But they teach us this wonderful truth, that there were those who were saved, and they encouraged the Apostle Paul. And although they could not get him out of prison, although they could not deliver him from the sentence that eventually was going to befall him, still their presence encouraged him. When they went to see him, when they went to pray with him, when they went to have fellowship with him, the great Apostle Paul, who went on 3 great missionary journeys and accomplished so much for Christ, was strengthened when individual Christians came and spent time with him to pray with him and to pray for him. The truth is this: in the company of God's people, child of God, you and I will be encouraged. And that's why we should never neglect the fellowship of God's people, because you will do it to the weakening of your own soul. And that's why I would encourage you. I would encourage you to get into the house of God, to come to the prayer meeting. Every time special meetings are held, do your utmost to be there, because it will encourage you and it will encourage others. It will strengthen you and it will strengthen others. But I want you to notice something else here about the Apostle Paul. I want you to notice that Paul treated God's people as equals. Paul, although he was the great apostle, he always treated God's people as equals. He never thought of himself as someone better than anyone else. He always was a man who loved the saints of God. And although he had been used greatly and had been given a prominent position in the church by the Lord, he always recognized that he was only a sinner saved by grace. No different from any other member of the church. Indeed, Paul described himself on one occasion, as you know, as the chief of sinners. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 to 10, Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the people of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." You see, Paul was a humble man who loved the people of God and always treated them with love and respect. You know, child of God, don't get me wrong, we must give honor to whom honor is due. The laborer, the Bible tells us, is worthy of his hire. But having said that, we are only sinners saved by grace. And that is something we should never forget. Turn over just for a moment to Luke chapter 17. Keep your hand in Acts 28. And I want you to consider what Christ said to his disciples. Now, of course, these disciples were going to be those that the Lord was going to use to establish the New Testament church. They had special gifts and talents that the Lord had given to them. So they were certainly men that the Lord had set his hand upon and blessed them greatly. But it's interesting to note what the Lord Jesus said to these disciples here. Look at verse 10 of Luke chapter 17. "So likewise ye," that's what Jesus says to the disciples, "so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." My friend, the truth is this: we are only unprofitable servants, each and every one of us. True Christian fellowship means loving one another in Christ and acknowledging that we are all brethren together in the service of Christ. John, in his epistle in 1 John 3, verse 14 and 15, said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Child of God, always seek out the company of other Christians and always treat them as brothers and sisters in Christ, for that is what they are, and that is what you are, and that is what I am, a brother, a sister in Christ. And at very best, we are only sinners saved by the grace of God. There's another portion of Scripture I want you to turn to. It's John chapter 13. It's a portion of Scripture that I was reading just this week. But again, it emphasizes to us, especially those of us who the Lord has called into full-time service, emphasizes to us that at very best we're only the servants of Christ. Here we have the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and he's taking the humble place. Child of God, never be afraid to take the humble place. We are called to be servants. I fear sometimes that those in the Lord's work, and I'm talking about ministers and missionaries and those in full-time service, they feel that they are something special and should be treated as such. Well, let's take a look at this portion of Scripture. And here we have the Son of God. And I want you to see what the Lord Jesus does here. Look at verse 4 and 5. "Jesus riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin." Now underline this. "And began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Now just think about that for a moment. I'm sure that you have read John chapter 13 many times. I'm sure that you're familiar with this incident here. But what does it teach us? It teaches us how the servant of Christ must have great humility. Here we have the Lord Jesus, and what's he doing? He's kneeling down before the disciples, and he is washing their feet. It's not them washing his feet, it's the Savior washing their feet. Oh, child of God, we're called to be servants. Then let us be servants. We're called to serve. Then let us serve. We're called to do whatever the Master bids us. Then let us do that. Then and only then will we hear that, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Such was the Apostle Paul. Such was the Apostle Paul. He loved to be in the company of other Christians. And when he entered into their company, he treated them as equals. He loved them in the Lord. It wasn't, "Well, I'm the great apostle and you're down there somewhere, just an ordinary Christian." No. He loved being among the brethren, among the saints. He loved praying with the saints. And at all times, he recognized that he, like them, was only a sinner saved by the grace of God. He said, as we have quoted there, that he was the least of the apostles, that he was the chief of sinners. Is it any wonder that the Lord could use him? Is it any wonder that the Lord did use him? And we're going to see tonight how the Lord continued to use him. And although he was a prisoner at Rome, and although he was a prisoner in his own hard house still, what blessing he's seen even in the latter years of his ministry. Oh, child of God, I pray in these days that you and I will continually seek out the company of other Christians. I would exhort you to do that. I would exhort you to be at the prayer meeting, the most important meeting in the church. I would exhort you to continue to fellowship one with the other, because it's there that the Lord will bless you. There's a wonderful psalm. I want you to turn over to it. I know that you know it so well. Psalm 133. And this is what we read in the psalm. Verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, the psalm, of course, is all about unity. But it is emphasizing unity among the people of God, among the saints of God. And, of course, over the past 18 years, we have known great unity in Bethel. And my prayer is that that unity will continue for many years to come. But in order for that unity to continue, you need to love one another, you need to pray for one another, and above all, you need to want God's will to be done in everything. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Unity in the work of God. Unity as the work continues. Unity when you come to pray for a new minister. Look at verse 2. "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard," the beard, "even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion." Now underline the last verse, or the last line of the last verse. "For there, in the midst of unity, when God's people meet together to pray for one another, to pray for the will of God to be done, there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." There the Lord commanded the blessing. And there the Lord will continue to command the blessing in the days that lie ahead. Oh, here's a man, and he was going to his death. He was heading towards his last few years upon this earth, because the last 5 years of his life he was a prisoner. And as he goes towards Rome, as he eventually gets to Rome, he wants the fellowship of God's people. He realizes the need of it. And it's among the people of God where the Lord blesses him. Oh, child of God, I pray in these days that each and every one of us will seek out the fellowship of God's people. My friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, let me say to you again that your greatest need is to come to Christ. That's the message that we have sought to preach down through the years, and that message hasn't changed. And my prayer to you, for you, is that you will come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. You come to Bethel. You've been coming to Bethel now for many years, and you're still not saved. I wonder how many more messages will you have to hear? How many more times will you have to come before you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you not come today? Only trust him. Only trust him, the hymn writer wrote. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. You've come, and In many ways, you have enjoyed the fellowship of God's people, coming to church each Lord's Day. But the truth is this, that you will never enjoy the fellowship with God's people in heaven. The saints of earth will fellowship with each other down here on earth and be blessed. And when they die, they will go to heaven and they will enjoy the fellowship of the saints of God for all eternity around the throne. But that will not be your blessing. Because the moment you die, you will be lost forever. And that's why we exhort you to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon. And then you'll be able to have that assurance and confidence of knowing when you come to face death that you too will sit around the throne of God in heaven and enjoy the fellowship with the saints in glory for all eternity. Oh, may God give you the grace to come and save you. Let's all pray.